Interview with Charles Fabian at his home, 769 Bennett Road, Fairbanks, Alaska, May 22, 2002. Another voice will be Ruth George, and there may be others as well. So, okay. So you...
Go ahead.
So you were military, huh? So when was that?
Oh. In 1938, my dad's house burnt down.
Mm-hmm. Where?
In Waukesha, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But it's Brookfield, it was a little town.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I thought I'd go join the Army. There, I'm 18 years old, so. They said, no, we got no room for you.
Huh.
Then the next year, things were different. I had clothes and everything, and I got a letter from the military. They said, hey, we got an opening for you. But there's a lot of BS. They can't do opening to begin with, but they... told me because they didn't want an 18-year-old kid there, so. Anyway, I went and I ended up in Spokane, Washington, in the 4th Infantry. And I wanted to get in the cavalry. And I was damn lucky I didn't get in there, because that horse had to be taken care of before you did, you know.
Sure.
So, anyway, I got in the E Company of the 4th Infantry.
Oh. And this was in 39.
39. Yeah. Then, there was a unit that was in China that was sent back. And, you know, because I don't know why, but they didn't want this unit fighting Japanese. Japan and China were at war. I might be getting ahead of myself, too, here. On the 4th of July, let me see. It was I wasn't in the Army even a year, I don't think, then, or just about a year. I was down in Anchorage, and we had a little parade that where we went to, for 4th of July. And anyway, I had a date with a girl, and her name was Nina Alexander. And anyway, I went back to the company so I'd get rid of my rifle and that. And I just got back in town. Now, I spent there was so many in Fort Richardson at that time that you had to go from barracks to barracks in a rowboat or something. I walked to guard duty there, and I'd be knee-deep.
Really?
But anyway, I just got back there, and here they come, and they says, get back to Fort Richardson. And they took us all back. And they gave us live ammunition. Now, then that night, we were stuck there then, too. said, this is just a maneuver. You don't run a maneuver. You know, but there was quite a while before we could get back into town.
Huh. You don't know what this was all about then?
No, I never knew. Huh. But I knew that there was ready for that. That they expected as an attack there somewhere.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's what follows you up when you think of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it does.
Huh. And Roosevelt, he was a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah, he was. So did you stay in Alaska then?
No, I ended up here at Ladd Field.
Mm-hmm.
They had an outfit they called L Company. Yeah, it was from the fort. It was stationed at Ladd Field.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made up of drunken non-coms and recruits. So you can imagine what kind of an outfit they'd
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm.
So after 1 year, they sent them down, bang, to join their company, and they sent E Company up here.
Oh.
And that's how I ended up here.
Okay, and that was about when?
Oh, that was 1940.
Yeah.
That was before.
Mm-hmm.
Then I heard that Roosevelt told Japan to get out of China. He was going to, you know, Roosevelt, that he was in there for, he was a regular dictator.
Well, almost.
He it was 1928 when he went in.
Was it? Well, anyway, around that, yeah.
Yeah. And up there you see his family pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I see. So did you ever leave Alaska or did you serve here? Okay. So what did you do after you came to Fort Wainwright, or to Ladd?
Well, then I met my wife, you know. My company commander was named Glenn then.
Glenn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his first name was, but... Anyhow, I went and got permission from him to get married. And then Russia sent over. Well, we had... Russia went to give them some gold for those airplanes that they got. They mm-hmm. say they got them lend-lease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they got them on lend-lease, the rent was pretty high. There was, I was put on as a guard, and maybe I can go over here and show you. You find my medals here. Now, I was never in combat.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's without getting any, they give you a medal for just going to sleep.
Well, nonetheless, you were there.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Your discharge. Uh-huh.
Well, now, I had to get my discharge recorded. But
why is that?
Well, there it is, you see it. I got copies of it now.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
And guess what? I come to Alaska, and it's a good thing that I had this recorded in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Wisconsin to me was the dirtiest, rottenest state in the Union.
Hmm.
They had given him a sales tax to give to the vets.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it to their highway department.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you got discharged up here, though?
No, I went back to Wisconsin.
Oh.
I should have stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, now they didn't want to marry Native girls. My wife is part Native.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, this one company commander that we had said the next guy that married a Native girl, he was going to Shanghai to Timbuktu. Well, that's something I just didn't take. I had to get up and shoot my big mouth off. I said, I'm already married to a Native girl. Where do you want to Shanghai me to?
Is this your wife in the picture up here? Up here?
No.
No?
There's my wife over there. See me in the eye?
Okay, yeah.
Come on.
All right.
We're both a day younger, though.
Oh, yes, weren't we all?
And here's a picture of Louis Fairbanks looked at.
Yeah, Second Avenue. Oh, your wife's very pretty.
Yeah.
Very pretty. I can see why you fell in love with her.
That was my mother.
Uh-huh.
That was an uncle of mine. This is my grandfather in Scotland.
Huh. Yeah, I should have realized that Fabian was a good Scots name, all right.
Yeah.
Of course.
And my dad, the name Fabian, my dad said relatives were German Jews. And he changed his name to Fabian to get away from that.
Yeah, oh yeah, you had to do that in those days, pretty much. Yeah.
And
Where is this?
That's Anchorage.
Oh,
no, that's Fairbanks.
Okay, well, I'm just noticing that building. It isn't, is it log?
No, it's gone now.
Yeah, is it log? That log or is that
frame? No,
gray?
It's board.
Board, okay. Just, I thought maybe it was out in the village, the type of wood kind of suggested that.
No, that whole thing is gone there now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Sourdough bought it first.
Huh. And so this was where?
Here, I'll show
about
you.
About 10th Avenue?
Yeah.
Someplace in that?
There's my mother-in-law, and there's Aunt Louise. She was a Harper.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And here's my son, George.
Now, is he the one that's just retired from the city?
Yeah.
Yeah, my son-in-law knows him.
Yeah.
He said the other day he did. Right.
Well, there you get a picture. Time changes everything.
Oh, boy, doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got...
And here's George when he got married.
Oh, yeah.
And there's my wife.
Oh, with a rototiller. Good for her.
Yeah.
That's what I need to be doing about now.
Yeah. They don't sell them anymore.
Not like that. No, that's a bigger model than mine. Yep. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I got a camera here. I want to take in and see if I can get it fixed up.
Shall we let your cat in?
Yeah, that's Snoopy.
Well, Snoopy has been waiting for a while.
Yeah.
Well, hello there. Did you let me pet you, huh? Oh, yeah.
Jerry's a bell to
uh-huh.
keep them from catching birds.
Does it work?
Well, I don't know. You don't see it, Randall, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you're pretty handsome, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got cats at our house. We like cats.
Yeah.
So, when did you come out here?
Oh, because of Wisconsin. I never liked Wisconsin. And when I joined the army, old Hitler was going, and a neighbor guy says, "You just committed suicide," he said. And that guy that said that, he ended up getting drafted. And he was over in Holland fighting Hitler, and me, I was up in Alaska.
Yeah. So he thought you committed suicide because you joined the army, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And now here, right behind you, see, that's two. Yeah. That's not a snapshot. That's a drawing.
That's a drawing, yes.
Now there is a snapshot of one. There's him.
Mm-hmm. The middle?
Yeah.
Middle one, uh-huh.
And,
Well, who did your drawing here?
Well, some guy down in Panama Canal.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
He had a TB catcher. I never thought he'd get in there. But by God, he got in there, and it was on KP. Well,
Now this is a picture of this fellow, or this is a picture of you that he did?
No, that was a picture that somebody else drew him.
Uh-huh.
While they were on KP.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So this is the fellow that was down in Panama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there he is up there too.
I see, yeah.
The third one.
Uh-huh.
The first one is me and a guy named Marino. He was from Denver, Colorado.
Huh.
And
well, this guy's quite an artist, whoever he was. That's
Yeah. That's
quite a nice picture. Huh. Yeah. So what prompted you to homestead out here?
Well, because I figured my company commander told us, he says, "You guys want a homestead?" He says he knew that down in the States it was rough at that time.
Yeah, it was.
And so he says, "Go homestead." Well, then I homesteaded here 160 acres. And then they come along with the statehood. See, Alaska was just a territory.
Right.
And me, of course, I had to go to statehood too. It was the biggest mistake ever made. The only tax we had was a school tax.
Right.
It was $1 a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, who was out here when you homesteaded? Mr. Bennett must have been here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was there anyone else between you and him?
Mr. Bennett, he ended up back in the States. And, I show you this one picture. I can't get to it, but when Mom gets back, I'll have him get to it. See that second one?
Uh-huh.
That's my grandfather.
Huh.
And that guy way down in the corner, that's my dad.
Sitting on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And there are German Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also cousins. But because he got...
Cousins of whom?
Him and my grandma and grandfather. for cousins.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And here's my medals now. I was never in combat. And see, I've got them. And that one, that blue one,
mm-hmm.
I got that for, to start off with, when they had Churchill and Stalin and them guys had old Roosevelt wanted to send to know. And Churchill told him, oh, put it on the British man of war. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The Germans sunk the goddamn thing. So then they went by Nome. And Russia didn't want paying this gold. Now, it was quite a bit of gold. And so I got that blue one for being one of the guards that went through Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Interesting.
And that last one I got for victory. That's a victory medal.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay,
and
well, you...
over there is my mother and dad.
Huh. Uh-huh.
And that next picture is their wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a picture. You got lots of good pictures. Lots of family history there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then these are... this one, I adopted a girl,
mm-hmm.
and her mother, she went to, and, there she is, the one that I adopted in that corner.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's a grandma herself.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
And, anyway, that was one of her daughters.
She's a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, you say Mr. Bennett went back outside?
Back home.
What? Did you know him at all? No one seems to know too much about him.
Oh, Mr. Bennett, yeah. See, there have been a forest fire through here. And Mr. Bennett built this route here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, was there someone down here to build it too?
No, he built it to get the wood.
Oh, I see. After the fire.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And the fire had been way before he
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of available wood there.
Yeah.
Oh, and I hadn't heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so was there anyone, he was the first one on the road. Who was the second one that came in? Do you remember?
Well, there was another guy. Came here, and he built a log cabin here.
On this place?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right where it is, your house. Huh. And you put the logs straight up and down
right.
because of that fire.
Mm-hmm.
He used them.
Yeah. Huh.
And anyway, we tore it down, threw it away. But my dad had a chance to go to Matanuska.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, no, she wouldn't go to Alaska. And he didn't. He missed the biggest chance in his life.
Could be, yeah. Who else do we have on this map here that shows on Bennett Road anyway? Okay. There's Bennett.
Yeah.
Oh, John Jennings, was he around when you were?
No.
Here's yours, Charlie Kivlin. Of course, he didn't come off of this road, did he? He came off.
No.
He came off of the Hot Springs Road. George Farkas was on past you.
Here's Bennett. Mr. Bennett was here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is. Well, it's called.
Yeah. Oh, and here's Terry Moran.
Oh, well, he's still here.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've talked to him. I've got his story, and I'll give you a copy of it. Okay, so Farkas was the next one. He came in after you did then?
Well, our company commander had told us to just homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I went and homesteaded. And my dad, I always felt he made a big mistake by not coming up here.
Yeah.
And
did you know Bert Stemple and Dr. Fitz?
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Dr. Fitz was a missionary from
mm-hmm.
China.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up here, and he was the one that built over that road up here.
Well, Steel Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he had been a missionary in China.
Yep. Well, let's see. You must have known the Louds.
They're still here.
Well, Dick is still here, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I guess Tim, too. The younger son.
Yeah. I think the dad was a sheriff or somewhere.
Oh, is that right?
A police officer.
Huh. I understand that Mr. Kivlin was a policeman, too. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard that before. I hadn't heard that about Louds. Yeah. Where did Louds come from? Do you remember hearing? Some way I had a feeling it was Kentucky or someplace like that, but if I can ever get a hold of Dick Loud, I'll ask him.
Yeah.
All right. So did you farm quite a bit?
No.
You didn't raise potatoes like...
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody raised pretty much.
And I had a John Deere tractor. I paid $1,000 for it.
Hey.
Now, it was called an M, I think. It was a... small tractor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You want to sit down here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go anyway. Paid $1,000 for it, huh?
Yeah. Now you couldn't buy it.
Oh, no.
You're back there for that.
No, for sure. So how many acres of potatoes did you raise?
I did. I raised a garden.
Oh, a garden. I see.
That was all.
So what kind of work did you do then?
When I was in the Army.
Okay, for how long?
Oh, let me see. I got to go look at my discharge.
Oh, well, let me look at it and I'll tell you what it says.
'1945? Yep.
Yeah, okay.
I was in the whole length of the whole war.
Oh, yeah, through the war. So what'd you do after that? What kind of work?
Oh, I went to... I went to work at a place. They loaded... it was a delivery outfit.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get to all these packages in the daytime, and at night you go and you load them,
uh-huh.
and then they deliver them in the next morning. And anyway, I decided I didn't want that. When I was in the Army, whether I was up in the middle of the day, or I could go sleep or anytime
mm-hmm.
I wanted to. And after I got married and had a family, it was different.
Sorry, yeah.
So Anyway, I went to work for the EMP.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a song now, "Take This Job and Shove It."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was the guy that told the EMP that. They had me unloading a truck. And the truck was probably about this much higher than, not quite this much higher, but it was high enough where when you came out of it, and the distance is between, well, it's probably his room on that there dock. And I had a job there, so I went in there, and I'm in there by myself. And I thought, God damn, I can get hurt here. I just got 6 years in the Army, and I'm not going to. So I walked in there, and I looked for a foreman. And I couldn't find him. So I left a message for him.
Okay. So you were working as a fireman on the steamer? The Nana? Oh, that's interesting.
And steam on that now.
Uh-huh.
It had to be 200 pounds of steam.
Whew.
And that's a pretty good sized boat.
Yeah.
And it would pop off at about 210. So there you are, it burned for a quarter of an hour.
Well, it was.
Yeah. And so I ended up on that. And instead of leaving my wife here, I took her with me down to Tanano.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured, well, I can see her. They always got freight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my wife down to Tanana, and it was a free ride then for her.
Sure.
Since I was working. But it'd have been better if they'd just kept the natives on it. And they enjoyed that.
Sure.
I didn't. So.
How many years did you do that job?
Oh, it wasn't years. It was months.
Months. Okay.
And I made one trip down to Galena, then from Galena back up to Tanana, and then from there, Alaska Railroad had these belonged to Alaska Railroad. It had three boats, and because the steamer Nana was so big, let me see, I've got a picture somewhere. It's downstairs.
Well, we know how big it is, yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, burning for a quarter of an hour, I did.
So what did you do after that? What was your next job?
Oh, I went and I got changed from the 4th Infantry into the...
No, I mean after the Nenana.
Oh, I come back here. I had had a hernia when I was... I guess 2 years old.
Mm.
And my dad, and them, they had it fixed,
mm-hmm.
operated on it. Now I was always proud of that. Then going through one of the goddamn armies, physicals, this goddamn doctor went to check me for it. Well, I jumped it or something, and he said, "Stand still, you son of a bitch." And he rammed his finger up there and gave me another one.
Oh, jeez.
Same place.
Ooh.
And I should have hit him.
But anyway, this had some effect on your work in the future then?
Oh, yeah. When I took the operation, they used a spinal block.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. They don't put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Don't. And so that's the way it went. But I got rid of the hernia again anyway.
Mm.
And then
so after the Nenana, you didn't work there very long, you said. So what did you do then?
Well, I went to the hospital.
Oh, okay. That's when you needed that operation.
Yeah.
Okay. So then maybe you looked for some different kind of work?
Oh, I got transferred to the local National Guard.
Oh, right.
And I should have just let it be. And anyway, when they'd put these natives on guard, they're used to fishing or whatever. And they'd work for an outfit that was putting in aisles and runway.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd haul this stuff up here to land. And these native guys would, you know, load up the trucks. And they were in a hurry to get it done. So they got a little extra money from PK. I don't know what the PK stood for.
Peter Kewitt? Is that the Peter Kewitt Construction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they paid us. So we just kept it quiet.
Hmm. But this was through the National Guard that this was happening, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, E Company now, that was regular.
Mm-hmm.
And that started out in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, right. No, but you're talking about after the war now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the National Guard and all. Hmm, okay. So you worked for the National Guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a regular job, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm, how many years did you do that?
Well, I ended up going back to Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin had a sales tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, this wasn't after you homesteaded that you went back to Wisconsin, was it?
Oh, yeah, I went back there for a discharge.
Right. Yeah, but then you came back here and homesteaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's...
But I homesteaded before.
Before you went back to Wisconsin, huh? Oh,
yeah.
I see. What year was that, do you know?
Not really.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
I ended up, I got discharged at... Camp McCoy? Yeah, Camp McCoy. And he's got a bell on, so he can't get hurt. I don't know. I think he probably still can.
So after you came back to Fairbanks to stay, what kind of work did you do then?
I fired. I was a fireman.
And a city fireman?
No, a boiler fireman.
Okay, yeah, but you said you didn't do that for very long, just a few months, right?
Yeah.
Did you go on working?
And my dad wants me back there.
Well, yeah, right.
I bought a 52 Ford pickup. And I paid $1,800 for it, which is a pretty nice price for up here.
Yeah.
Now that wouldn't even be the down payment. Anyway, my wife and I went back to Wisconsin.
All right.
It pleased my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And what I should have done is got a lawyer and sued the state of Wisconsin. It's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
The governor was up here when it's where you got now. And I talked to him about it. And he said he should have got a lawyer and he sued the state.
What for?
They had a sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
To give to the veterans.
Yeah. And they gave it to the road department instead, the highway department instead. Yep, oh well.
Being wise, you know, dollar wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Or penny wise and dollar short.
Yeah, but you've been here now for how many years? Let's see, this is 2002. You've been here 50 years? All right.
With a couple of breaks.
But you've established quite a family, and they've got quite a business up here.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
I got to count. We start out with Nancy, Janet, George, I forgot my own kid's name, Ronald, and Alfred. That's five kids.
That's five, right? Are they all alive yet?
Yep.
All living around here?
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good, by gosh.
Yeah. But then the biggest mistake I ever made was statehood. I should have gone against. Some of the old timers voted for it, but there just wasn't enough.
No. Well, again, that's past history now. So.
Yeah.
Things do change. So you didn't farm, huh? You just gardened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got a nice exposure here. Where was your garden? Down here below?
Yeah, and across the road.
And across the road. Oh, that's right. The road goes through your property, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where are we here? Oh, sure, right almost in the middle. In the middle. Yeah.
And up here I got my sister-in-law's kind of.
What's her name?
Audrey Fowler.
Fowler?
That's her married name.
Oh, I see.
Her maiden name was Audrey Mayo.
Okay. And she is up the road, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, which, the other side?
No, this side.
This side.
And, I charged, when I gave these kids 5 acres, I charged them for the survey. So they still got a pretty good deal.
Oh, yes, I would think so. So is this property across the road where they're putting in the new subdivision? That was some of yours, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was state $3,000 for taxes.
Oh, sure. How many acres is going into this new subdivision, did you say?
I have no idea.
Oh, it must have been your son.
Anyway, Loud.
Hmm?
Loud said a potato farm started. And he had been a sheriff or something back in the States. And so he gave me $4,000 for what was across there.
Oh, so that was more recently there. Where's Dick Loud's place? Which house is his, anyway?
Yeah, I don't know which one is Dick's.
I don't either, and it doesn't matter. He's another one that I'd like to talk to sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long was it before Bennett Road connected up with the Hot Springs Road? Do you remember?
Well, actually, it was before that. There was a guy named Farkas where that horse farm is now.
Yeah.
Lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that had that road from here to the Chena Hot Springs.
Right.
And he had adopted a kid that was mentally retarded, and the kid got involved with the farm machinery, and instead of shutting the tractor off, he tried to stop it with his hands. So I don't know what happened really to him now.
Quiet. Sounds pretty sad.
Yeah.
Was that the only child the Farkases had?
No, they adopted them.
Mm-hmm.
They were not their own children.
Okay, they didn't have any of their own children, you're saying?
No.
Yeah.
That's just like me. I adopted that one.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, one time I saw her mother downtown drunk, you know, and she was about 5 years old. Now, her mother let her know that she was the mother's. Anyway, she told me, she says, "That's my mama." I said, "Well, if that's your mommy, who's Cal, you know?" She says, "That's my mommy, too. I got two mommies and one daddy."
And what's her name?
She's down in Anchorage now.
Yeah, her first name, I was wondering.
Marilyn.
Marilyn, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And she's a grandmother now, you say?
Yeah.
And in Anchorage, huh?
Yeah.
Well, who else on this map that you remember and had anything to do with? Is there anyone else there? Let's see.
Well, those Russians, the amount of gold they say that is, but because they lost that first one over that British man of war.
Yeah.
You don't send one goddamn war boat by itself, you know. They went, the Germans sunk it, whether they knew. The Germans in the end salvaged the gold.
Huh.
After they knew exactly where that damn boat went down. See, they had a record on their subs.
Yeah.
And so they got a certain percentage of the gold for getting it.
Oh, interesting.
And the second shipment of gold that they sent, let me see, we're talking about tons, not troy ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And the university says it was lend-lease. I won't argue with them if it's lend-lease. But ton and a half of gold, and there should have been four airplanes, C-47. They could carry 1.5 ton apiece. And one plane didn't make it, and we overloaded the others. And they put two guards on each plane. And I don't remember the guy's name now, but the pilot came on. He was a civilian pilot, Northwest Airlines. And he says, "What have we got here?" And this partner of mine says, "It's a military secret." He says, two guards and an overload. He says, you hear what these motors sputter, you start throwing that secret over, that military secret. Yeah, of course we wouldn't, you know. But they took it down to Denver, Colorado. And we landed there at midnight.
You were on this plane?
Yep.
You were the guard, one of the guards, right?
Yeah, I was one of the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And our first sergeant, his name was Howard. Now, he'd been a Marine in World War I, so you know that he's no young chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked me to, as one of the guards. And I was down there in we unloaded the gold. We didn't unload it. They just told us to get out of there. And they'd unload it. And no change of guard or anything, you know.
Hmm.
I was about to shoot that son of a bitch. I knew he was an American, but he just didn't come that way to me, you know. And old Howard says, "Let him have it." And then we don't know what happened to the gold after that. But
serious.
Yeah. And it's not because I'm a Russian, it's the truth.
Oh. Well, that's a wonder.
Yeah, they're trapped. The university is saying lend-lease. I'll call it lend-lease if you want to, but it was a lot of gold.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like it.
Well, anything else you want to know?
Well,
oh, you, Dr. Fitz.
Oh, yeah. What about Dr. Fitz?
There was, when he was a missionary, he told us that he was also a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there was one Chinaman, and my wife said, look at the pregnant woman. And Dr. Fitz says, "No, that's not a woman, that's a man." He says he's got a tumor. Then he showed us another picture of him where he took this tumor out.
Huh. That is nice. So he was quite a surgeon, apparently.
Yeah. And he started this, it's a church here in town.
Nazarene, was it?
Yeah.
Nazarene Church? I think that's what somebody else told me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he must have been a pretty up-and-coming guy. I mean, how old was he by the time you knew him?
Dr. Fitz. He ended up going back to Montana or someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but was he 50-ish or 60-ish or?
Oh.
Never had any idea how old he was.
He was up there in years.
Sounds like a pretty ambitious man to come out here in Homestead.
Yeah.
At that age. A lot of hard work.
And,
oh, what? He had some family, didn't he? He had a...
Oh, yeah. He had one daughter. Ishman married her.
What was the name?
Ishman.
Ishman. Hmm.
Yeah.
No.
And, Gaffney. He wouldn't let anybody, be married here, and he was Gaffney's driver.
Okay, this was Colonel Gaffney, or he was a military?
He was the commander.
Commander, okay. Mm-hmm.
Of, I don't remember.
Lad.
Yeah. My aunt told me, she said, I wish I'd known that. I know his sister. I says, I'm damn glad you didn't know her.
She knew his sister?
Yeah.
Huh.
And, so, anyway.
Okay, but Dr. Fitz, you say, had the one daughter. Okay. Was there a son, too, in the
no.
Fitz family? No. Somewhere I thought I'd heard of one.
If you did, I don't remember.
Well, he could have been old enough to have not been with the family.
Yeah.
By then, if there was one. Hmm. Were they doing much farming up there?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of his name now.
Bert Stemple by any chance?
Bert Stemple.
Yeah.
He, him and Fitz didn't get along too good. And, so anyway, Fitz ended up going back to Montana or someplace. But, this Chinaman that he showed had a, it was a man, see?
Mm-hmm.
And he showed how he took that tumor
right
out of him and,
yeah,
and he lived.
Hmm. Oh, my. Did you know this Boris Patrick that lived up right on Steel Creek Road?
I knew Carl Herning.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah, Boris Patrick was right up here. See, here's Bennett's place.
Yeah.
And Patrick was right up there. Did you know him? Yeah. I don't know how long he was there. Oh, yeah, I expect you knew a lot of the Hernings, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
See?
They built that... just before you get to the tracks in town. The tracks going out to
Lad?
Yeah.
So it's a building that's still there?
Yeah.
Trying to think. Well, they built a lot of things. I mean, that's a bunch of carpenters.
Yeah, they were.
And good woodworkers. Wonderful woodworkers.
And they also started a church over on
9th or 10th Baptist Church. We moved into the middle of the Herning clan out there. We lived next to Harold and Lyle, and George Lyle. Did you know Don Herning?
Yeah.
Don had a good story. You'll enjoy reading his story about all their experiences homesteading and how awful the road was and all. Well, that's about all I think of. So why don't I let's turn this thing off.